This is a replay of the Thursday night, May 22nd, WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call, and I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoip. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We have 3 hours to spend together. If it's on your mind, it'll be on mine. That's always my promise, providing it has absolutely no import whatsoever. Even better when we're talking about radio and soul music, which we're going to do both this hour, I do believe. But I'm so pleased. We were all wondering, what happened to Dennis in Colorado? Well, he's back. So, Dennis, where have you been?
So sorry for my tardiness. You know, some things you think never go away, but it... our age, we got to keep up with stuff.
Isn't that the truth?
Because you just never know.
So what's up? What's
so,
up?
Well, since I last talked to you, I've been around the world several times. I don't know, Japan, Indonesia, Thailand, just everywhere. But anyhow, how are you doing? And is John doing well?
Yeah, well, can't complain. You know, it's the same old stuff, just a different day. You know how that is.
Yeah. And did I hear you say you're going to be out of the Globe Studio next week?
Well, I'm out of the Globe Studio tonight. I'm back in Scottsdale tonight. It varies on every night is different, and part of this is because we've got to consolidate those Globe locations because I've got a fourth one there that's just, you know, it's the world's most expensive storage, as we like to say, and we've been meaning to get rid of it for a long time, and finally, John said, we've got to make an effort to do that. So every week we are spending time in Globe, and then when we can, we have to come back here for medical and stuff like that. So tonight is Scottsdale.
Oh, okay. That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, a lot of seismic things have happened since we last talked, but mostly about radio. I, you know, being a radio listener all my life, there are things you think would never go away, such as KSFO.
Oh, I know. That's a heartbreak.
I grew up, yes, listening to, oh gosh, Carter B. Smith and Don Sherwood, Giants Radio, Russ Hodges and Lon Simmons and their incredible voices announcing the Giants. I don't know if you were in their market listening during that time.
Oh, sure.
Classic radio.
Yeah, good old 560. It was a wonderful frequency. And of course, when Golden West owned it, it was just the Cadillac of radio stations. Is a grand Don Sherwood is, of course, a legend. Don't need to say more about that.
Yeah.
So you betcha. And yeah, that was an absolute heartbreak. I understand from a financial situation, but those of us who really love radio, and especially back in the day, it's painful each time we hear about one of these, and it's bad enough when it's a thing like KDON in Las Vegas, which is a relative latecomer, and, you know, in some ways, who cared? But when that goes away, yeah, you maybe shed a tear, but boy, when KSFO signs off, you realize that it's crying time again.
And, you know, it didn't just sign off. It's dark.
No, I know that. That's what I mean by that's what I mean by signs off. No, it is. It is absolutely dark. You know, and economically, I get it. Of course, they took the call letters and they put it on the old KGO. The call letters are on 810. But, you know, I get it from the standpoint of economics. AM stations are, are not not cheap to run. In fact, Delilah, who the gal who does the AC show at night, the whatever that is, love songs or I don't know. But in any event, she had a little radio station in her hometown, and recently she signed it off. Well, I wasn't surprised because that was licensed for 50,000 watts in the day. Not at night, but in the day. And, you know, on AM, when you're running 50,000 watts, you're paying for every damn watt.
Big power.
So, you know, I think it's great that she wanted to support her hometown, but enough is enough. And so they signed off. And they were an interesting little station, KDUN, long before her. They were the first station to ever do computerized traffic. And back in the day, so that was their history. But yeah, these stations go off, and it is heartbreaking.
Well, on the other side of that, across the bay, with that three-tower array right on the salt water, is KGO. Now with the conservative voices, it used to be on KSFO.
Right, of course.
And I've got to believe that Ray Taliaferro and Ira Blue are turning in their graves.
Oh, you betcha. And the other thing, of course, is, you know, at the height of KSFO and you know, for years, they were so far number one, there really wasn't even a number two. But they were all local and live. You didn't hear syndicated programming there. And, of course, now that's primarily what they have going on.
Yep, and they all had their personalities, and you knew them. And
absolutely.
It was like being at home.
Right.
You recall when we talked about the fiasco at KAAY?
Yes.
In Little Rock. I made another journey down there since we last talked about it.
Yeah.
And since I had the drone with me, I took some pictures after I did a little bit of research. I didn't have to jump the fence, which is unusual.
You're good. You're
good. Power station. But anyway, they lost that number three tower.
Uh-huh.
And it's hard for me to tell whether it was vandalism or some other natural disaster. They also had some copper thievery. And the number three tower is still down in piles. And I sent you emails with some pictures. You should be getting them.
Oh, I'll look forward to that. Now, remember, the radio station doesn't own those towers anymore.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, they sold it to Vertical
Bridge.
Yeah, Vertical Bridge, exactly. Yeah. And Vertical Bridge just took over most of the Verizon Tower locations as well. They're...
Oh, really?
Oh, yes. All the licenses, you betcha. Yeah, I've had my dealings in the last couple months with them taking over Verizon's lease. Mm-hmm. But whenever you do that, when you sell your towers to somebody, if something goes wrong with your towers, it's up to them whether or not anything's ever going
to
go. Yes.
And Vertical Bridge did launch a proposal to rebuild that third tower to get that big signal back. Because there's a lot of money in preaching and teaching.
Right.
And it was going to be about $500,000. And they contracted for it, and before they signed the deal, they backed out.
Okay.
So last I heard, they were still at 80 or 90 watts at nighttime, and I think I saw an STA for like 150 at night. But if they don't rebuild that third tower, they're never going to be what they were.
Well, they won't be. And that's my guess is the case. But yeah, it's sad. I understand that when you're looking at your bottom line, you think, oh, here's a great cash infusion. We'll just sell our tower sites. But it's more than one station I know of that's wound off the air because the towers fall down and whoever buys it isn't rebuilding.
That and the value of the property has gone so high.
Well,
if they can't diplex on somebody else, they got to move out of town.
That's exactly it. So there you go. I too hope that KAAY will get back to it. But if I were a betting woman, I'd bet against it right now.
Yeah. Well, they did have some copper thievery, and you'll see in the photos, it looks like they retrenched and replaced the stolen copper.
That's good.
I don't know why somebody doesn't, when somebody walks in with a truckload of number 10 copper wire that's quarter wave long at frequencies, that somebody doesn't make a phone call and say, has anything happened?
Yeah.
That is just...
Yeah, they flat out don't care, sadly. It's very easy to sell that stuff. But I'm looking at the pictures you sent right now. Yeah, whoa. Yeah, it's not pretty. So, and you took some great shots of this, too. But I'd be surprised. I hope I'm pleasantly surprised, but I'm not expecting them to rebuild that.
Well, I saw a CP come through for the 50 kW, and then I saw another one come through for something a lot less. And then I read somewhere in the media that they were going to not do the third tower.
Yeah.
I have a question. I've always wondered, different radio station, WOAI in San Antonio.
Oh, sure.
If there is a clear channel on the dial, that's it. And I always wondered if there was a political connection or financial connection that gave them that.
No, yeah, obviously they moved to 1200 because of the 1941 realignment that everybody got to it. But when that happened, it was owned by Southland, and not the same Southland in Texas that owned 7-Elevens, but this is Southland Construction, owned them for, you know, like 40 years. They're the ones who sold it to what became Avco, to Crosley. And that was 65. But going back to 41, no, it was just part of that realignment and and reallocation. And so they got the 1200, and it was a 1A clear.
Well, there are a lot of 1A clears that are full of a lot of clutter, but this one isn't. This thing has got a 5/8 wave tower, which is the absolute best height you can have for a single stick as far as gain and angle. There isn't another signal on that frequency for thousands of miles, and they're little tiny stations, and even then, they have a deep null towards OAI.
Yeah, I would, by the way, I'd argue they're not alone. Take a look at 700. Look at WLW. I think you'll...
Oh, I know.
You can find this this picture in several places, but as far as I know, it was not political. Nothing tells me that there was any political into this.
Well, when I think Texas, I think political.
Well, San Antonio would be the last place if we're accepting El Paso. Now, the interesting thing, as you probably know, being a pilot, in 56, a Boeing hit the transmitter tower, destroyed the tower. They only killed one person, which was amazing to me. Nobody on the ground injured, and only one person in the plane. It was a B-29.
Oh.
Yeah, ran right into that tower.
And that's a tall tower.
Exactly.
5/8 wave then, that's a huge amount of tower.
Yeah, you'd have thought somebody would have seen something before before contact was made, but no. And then 9 years later in 65, that's when Crosley, which became Avco, bought it. So, and then it was the first of the Avco stations to be spun off when Avco decided they were selling leisure time. So, yeah.
Well, Crosley's quite a story in itself.
Oh, absolutely.
Back to SFO for a second. One of the personalities there was John Gilliland.
Uh-huh.
Do you know if that was part of the Gilliland family that started Gil Cable?
That's an interesting question. I don't know.
The timing would be right.
Yeah. Yeah, he worked for.
But I just don't know.
He worked for a lot of stations, and of course, he was in the credibility gap and all that kind of stuff. He was well known, but he was from Texas originally. I remember that middle of nowhere, and he went to TCU, and then he went to Cogo in San Diego, and for a minute there, he was at KRLA, and that's when the credibility gap thing happened, and so with Richard Beebe and all that kind of stuff, so he was that, and then I don't think he got to KSFO till like 71, he was doing nights.
Okay.
But I don't think so. As I say, just because he was from, nowhere, Texas. Absolutely nowhere. It was one of those, almost on the Oklahoma border, one of those you can't find on a map.
Well, an early cable station was in San Jose, Gilliland Corporation, which was Gil Cable. And that's why I just made that connection.
It makes sense, but as far as I know, Gil Cable was originally from Southern California. It was in El Monte and Montebello and places like that. And we're talking the 40s as far as that goes. So I don't see where it literally was, back when it was, there's no such thing as cable, it was CATV, some guy started it in his garage in Montebello or something like that. I'm not making that up. I think that's where it is. But anyway, they obviously got into all sorts of things, including products. But no, I don't see where that connection would have been. Mm-hmm. And Santa Clara, certainly they had that installation, no doubt about it.
Yep. Speaking of old AM radio, Joe Buchman put a post on Facebook a couple of weeks ago. He is reviving or strengthening the Herb Jepko scholarship.
Oh, good.
Which I understand is still bequeathing money to students in Salt Lake City to preserve the Nightcap Radio.
Oh, that's great.
Legend.
Now, I think it used to be like nightcaps.org, and I went to that site a while ago, and it doesn't seem that it's there. So I don't know if what's going on.
I don't know how I don't either, but I got a multi-email, a gang email to a bunch of people, and he is going to match funds.
Wow.
Anybody who donates a certain amount, and I'm thinking of kind of doing the same thing.
Oh, wow.
To a point.
Oh, wow.
To strengthen that scholarship. That is a piece of radio history we just don't want to let go of.
I agree with it. And it'd be nice if we really understood what went wrong and learned that lesson, but probably haven't. But nonetheless, that's great. I'm glad to. I was just, while we're talking, looking, I can't find a website anymore for that. That's a shame.
I don't think he kept the website active, but I don't know what, I don't talk to him enough to know.
Right,
Thoughts are on that. But if he's going to do put out a big drive to build funds, unless he's moved it to a different URL, it'd be nice to have something like that.
Yes, absolutely. I think that would be kind of important. And I think the scholarship, I think, is at University of Utah. But let me try nightcaps.net. See, I'm trying .org. Let me try .net and see what I get. Maybe something will come up there. Doesn't look like it. Well, no.
Okay.
Just
I'll
a blank
page. I'll do some
page.
Research on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll do some research on it, and maybe I'll give him a call and say I'll chip in some too and see what he says about it, and he can update me.
Yeah, find out if there's a website for it, because there should be.
Yeah. Another topic. A dear friend of mine I've known for many years, he owns M Squared Antennas, he started, has owned them for many years. He's legally blind. He's gone very blind. It's Mike Stahl in Fresno. He has been using the new Ray-Ban Meta glasses, and I can't believe you guys haven't been talking about it to some degree.
We have.
We actually have. Okay, good.
The thing to remember about it, it's because there are some people who have been very interested. You have to have a basic handle on online technology, on being able to already communicate that way. If you get those with absolutely no background, they are an exercise in frustration.
Oh, well, he says his is trained, and he's getting a new model. There's a new model coming out.
Yeah.
But it can read text, it can recognize faces, it knows who's in the room.
Yeah.
Very smart stuff, and I don't know enough about it to know how it interfaces with the body. I've only chatted with him a few times about it. But I hope some of your...
No, we've talked a lot about it, and absolutely.
Good.
So that's not... obviously Mike has the background where he'd have no problem technologically adapting to it whatsoever. But for somebody who still is, not that savvy with using the features that are just even standard to iPhones, you got to have some basis for that before you want to wear these, because otherwise it will be frustrating.
Oh, okay. Well, I didn't know that. He touted the benefits of it.
Oh, they're wonderful. They're absolutely wonderful. And you can get them in a number of places. But I still say, don't go in there with absolutely no knowledge whatsoever.
Yeah. Good point.
But other than that,
well, that's all
great.
I have.
All right. Well, I'm so glad you checked in. It is great to hear from you. Thank you.
Well, it's great to talk to you, too, and you sound wonderful. And tell John hello for me again.
We'll do it. Thanks. Appreciate it. All right.
Okay.
So
all right.
Dennis checks in with some beautiful pictures of not a beautiful site anymore, the KWY site. Enjoying looking at that. We'll get to Chuck in Milwaukee. We've got Ruth in Gurnee. We've got Cindy in Chicago, and room for you, too, on WGN Radio.
Hey, Porter, would you tell me the time? How much longer will it be till we cross that Mason-Dixon line? At daylight, would you tell that engineer to slow it down? Or better still, just stop the train, 'cause I want to look around. Hey, porter, hey, porter, what time did you say? How much longer will it be till I can see the light of day? When we hit Dixie, will you tell that engineer to ring his bell and ask everybody that ain't asleep to stand right up and yell? Hey, porter, hey, porter, it's getting light outside. This old train is puffing smoke and I have to strain my eyes. But ask that engineer if he will blow his whistle, please, 'cause I smell frost on cotton leaves and I feel that southern breeze. Hey, porter, hey, porter, please get my bags for me. I need nobody to tell me now that we're in Tennessee. Go tell that engineer to make that lonesome whistle scream.
WGN Radio, I'm Ronnie James. And 888-876-5593. That's Hey Porter, that's Johnny Cash. That's 1955, and it's on Sun. And that was a request. Yes, that came from David in Winthrop Harbor. And now we heard it. And a fine one it was. That actually was the flip side of the first single that Johnny Cash released on Sun in 55. All right, so let's see. We're going to get to Chuck in a moment. Don't go away. But Steve Bryan in Las Vegas, welcome back to WGN Radio. How are you, Steve?
Raleigh, I am fine, thanks. How are you and John?
All right, but I see on the screen you're needing to do hip surgery.
Oh, already done. Already done.
To share it,
I think an amazing story. There is a new procedure called IO Core, little letter I, big O, Core, mm-hmm. IO Core, and it's where they make a 1-inch incision. So my problem was I had no cartilage at all on my left hip. I've been in agony for about a year. I mean, it's been pretty bad. And they've tried all kinds of things, and nothing worked. And they finally said, well, you could take opioids. And I said, no, thanks.
Well, yeah, right.
They finally did an MRI of the left side, the mm-hmm. left hip, and said there's no cartilage, there's this procedure called IO Core. They do a 1-inch incision. It's general anesthesia. It takes about an hour. They do a 1-inch incision. They go in. They harvest stem cells. I don't know how they do that, and I think it's better that I didn't know.
Right,
how to do that.
Anyway. Right, exactly. There's some you don't need to know, yeah.
They got them, and that's all. They take them, they mix them with some ingredients, and they inject it into the hip joint, and the stem cells encourage the growth of new cartilage, while what they've injected cushions it. And Raleigh, it's a miracle.
Wow.
I can walk. It still hurt, but it hurts from the incision.
Right.
You know, 1-inch incision, but they're cutting deep into the muscle.
Oh yeah, absolutely, yeah.
And an amazing thing. And the insurance picked up part of it.
Sure, as well they should. I'm looking, by the way, as we speak, at iocoreprocedure.com, where they mm-hmm. explain the whole deal. And it's interesting that you're already seeing a real relief, which is encouraging, because basically the website says it'll take a few weeks. So
they say five days usually, but I was in such bad pain that what I have now. It's like a healing pain. You know you're getting better, and it's basically pain from the incision and pain from all the muscles and things that got pulled and stretched and everything. They have to get back to normal. But, yeah, in about a few weeks, I should be, you know, running 5Ks.
Don't. But that's terrific. Good. Well, I'm delighted to hear this.
It was something. I mean, it was funny. They tried a few things. They tried, you know, these steroid injections and all that nonsense. And they said there are three things. Once they found out there was no cartilage,
right?
They said we can shoot steroids in there,
right?
And the relief is pretty immediate. They said, but it's temporary,
right?
And the steroids also eat away the bone, so it would make the IO core procedure not work, and you'd have to go right to a hip replacement.
Right. The other thing with when you're talking about steroidal injections, you're dealing with the potential for nerve damage. That's always
yes.
there. But also, strangely enough, like all cortisone things, could increase blood sugar.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, they're all, you know, I mean, not ruling it out entirely, but to do that repeatedly, yeah, I would say that that's not the option. But it's interesting, they were telling you that you could have the heavy narcotics. I'd be curious for how long they'd be willing to write that prescription.
Yeah, well, exactly. I think after a few months, I'd be on the street corner.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So, this is just great. Well, good.
It's great, great news. I'm ambulatory. I can move around. Everything's great. And at age 74, something happened to me in the world of music that still befuddles me. That song, An Older But Wiser Kind of Guy.
Yeah.
The solo guitar version that I have up on YouTube.
Yeah.
Went viral.
Oh,
it
good.
Went absolutely berserk. The tens of thousands of hits to the point where John Rich heard it and wants me to play at his club on Broadway.
Well, great.
Yeah.
Well, you know, yeah. I don't know, and we still play it on KQSS regularly. I don't know anybody who doesn't like that song.
It just went berserk. And what happened was, one person heard it and liked it, and then shared it with somebody who liked it and shared it, blah, 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 and all of a sudden you're viral.
That's great.
And so many people sent it to John Rich that he said, this is something. And I got a little message from, of all folks, one of my idols, Ray Stevens, said, this is a really good song.
Oh, man.
So I thought,
oh, man.
Yeah.
Oh, that, yeah, that would make my heart stop, too. That's amazing.
Yeah, so all in all, it's been a good time.
Good, that's wonderful. All right. Well, I'm so glad to hear good news.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you. I wanted to share it because I knew you knew I was doing having the horrible pain and walking like Amos McCoy.
Now, it could they figure out any reason why? Or are we just talking about that, hey, we're all older and that's genetics? Or was there, you know, something that was going on with you?
The older genetics, plus I had the massive chemo for the cancer about 10 years ago.
Right.
That took its toll.
All bets are off. You're right. Absolutely. Bingo. Well, you fooled them. You're doing fine. This is great.
So far, so good.
All right. Well, I'm thrilled to hear this. It's made my night, Steve.
Well, thank you, Raleigh. Thank you for letting me share it, and all the best to you and to John.
All right. Hope to talk to you soon. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. That's great. That's wonderful news. All right. So, yeah, man, I tell you, joint pain, bone pain, nothing worse than that. So what an easy fix. I love it. All right. So we'll get to Chuck and to Ruth and to Cindy and you coming up on WGN Radio.
A new
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Shirley Murdoch. It was Karen who wanted to hear As We Lay, probably what she's best known for, 1986, and that was on Elektra. So there you have it, 888-876-5593. Chuck is in Milwaukee. How's it going tonight, Chuck?
Oh, not too bad. I just had a couple of questions for you.
Okay.
I was listening last night, and the guy was called in. He was making a list of soul DJs in different places around the country.
Yeah.
And you mentioned a website that listed air checks.
Yeah, it's just a few, but Stepfather of Soul is the deal. It's stepfatherofsoul.blogspot.com.
Okay. And I actually have some air checks of some DJs. I have them on cassette. I'm not sure where I got them. I got them years ago.
Sure.
But I don't really know what an air check is. To me, it just sounds like a recording of somebody off the radio. I was wondering if you could explain exactly what an air check is.
Well, it's exactly what you said, but now there's two types. One is scoped and the other is unscoped. And disc jockeys primarily use scoped air checks. In other words, they don't want somebody to have to listen through all the songs and the commercials and all that. They just want them to hear their bits. And so a scope check, you'd basically hear what was on the radio, except you wouldn't hear the bulk of the songs. You'd hear the opening and the closing. An unscoped check is just what you did. It's recorded right off the radio for whatever period of time you want to record.
And they're using these air checks to do what, audition for other jobs?
Right. Traditionally, back in the day, I have no idea what happens now, but in my day, it was all reel-to-reel, but you'd send an air check of you, preferably a scoped one, and it might be a whole show, like a whole 4 hours or however long you're on the air, and that would sort of be your entree. Now, there's some fascinating stories about this in terms of program directors who got duped by people who maybe their air check wasn't exactly what you'd hear. In other words, some guys would, and it doesn't have to be guys, but back then it 99% was, would not really record an air check. They'd create in a production room the perfect tape. And one of the famous examples was Roby Young. When Roby Young was going to WABC in New York, he wanted to apply there. And so he did not send Rick Sklar an air check of his work on WQAM. He went to Criteria Recording Studios and recorded this painstakingly. So it was like the perfect sounding air check. And he sent that. And that was the last time that Rick Sklar ever hired someone without going to the market himself and hearing them.
Okay.
So, you know, it should be legit because, and, you know, it's the way to do it because the bottom line is if you're saying this is you and you get a job and then you get there and it's not you, that's going to be a problem.
Okay. All right. That makes sense.
Yeah.
And also, the same guy last night, he mentioned that he had thought about starting a small radio station.
On the air.
But it was
on the air. Yeah. I mean, I'm sorry, not over the air, but online. Yeah, just a little online thing. He was not thinking of putting one on, you know, terrestrially.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So just online.
And you were saying that the more listeners he has, the more expensive it would be.
Yeah, if you're talking about online, now remember, this is not getting a tower and broadcasting to AM or FM. This is online. There's many services, there are boutique-like services, where they'll stream you, and it's very cheap when you don't have many listeners. But when you start to have a throng of listeners, the monthly fee goes up exponentially. So those are great entrees for people who aren't expecting a lot of volume in terms of a lot of people listening to their stream. There are some very cheap ways to do it. But let's say you've got a ton of listeners. Those are the most expensive ways to do it. You want to do it on your own then with a server.
Okay. All right. And also, another question. The whole conversation last night about black DJs reminded me about something me and a coworker talked about. And we were talking about different genres, different styles of music.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about rhythm and blues.
Okay.
And we were both wondering, where did that term come from? And
is
there a particular person or a particular radio station?
Yeah, no, it's not a radio station. It is a person. It's Jerry Wexler, unfortunately. When he was working for Billboard magazine in 1949, he did not like the fact that the charts had always been called race records. That had been true from the 20s. And they'd have euphemisms like the Harlem Hit Parade and all that. But basically, it was the race chart. And he wanted something other than that. And Jerry Wexler coined the phrase rhythm and blues. And you've ended the hour. I'll talk to you soon. All right. So there you have it. The news is coming up on WGN Radio.
Hello, Waltz.
Hello.
How'd things go for you today? Don't you miss her? And she up and walked away, and I'll bet you dread to spend another lonely night with me. But lonely walls, I'll keep you company. Hello, Wendell. Well, I see that you're still here. Aren't you lonely? Since our darling disappeared. Well, look here, is that a teardrop in the corner of your pain? Now don't you try to tell me that it's rain. She went away and left us all alone the way she planned. Guess we'll have to learn to get along without her if we can.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Farron Young, Hello Walls, 1961 on Capitol. Willie Nelson wrote that, and it was James on the South Side who wanted to hear it. I can't ever think about that record without thinking about Cheb Woolley, yeah, as Ben Colder, of course, who did some wonderful parodies, including Hello Wall.
Holy mackerel there. Hello, Wall. I didn't see you standing there. Did I hurt you? Boy, I sure did hit you square.
All right, so yes, you can hear the rest for yourself. I'm sure it's online. How could it not be? All right, so 888-876-5593. And that takes us to Ruth and Gurnee. Welcome back to WGN Radio, Ruth.
Hi, Molly. You know, I'd rather listen to the music than listen to myself, especially if it would be idle chatter. But there is a blessing that I'd like to give for the veterans. And I also would like to say, God bless you, Brett Schneider, if that was you in the news just a few minutes ago. Ruth from Viking Park, Gurnee, he has an intern in his office. And thank you so very much, because a couple of days ago, you did something political, and you did it with such finesse. It was, like, really informative and interesting and just like what every American would want to hear someone discuss, considering how strange things have been and why you prefer not to do, you know, political things. But I appreciated the way you handled it, whatever it was you talked about. It was a couple of days ago. Now, I do have something real pertinent to ask. I know for about 5 weeks I've been wanting to give recipes. Sunday was the fifth Sunday of Easter, and I haven't got that in about these fabulous items for serving on the table for Easter so that someone else could do that next year or this year. But this is my question for the Secretary of State's office. The last time I went there, you could redo your certification, I'll use that word, if it was expiring, and you got a number and they called you up and then you got called back again. And it was always crowded, so it took a few hours. And then now I think they're requiring an appointment. How do they have the time to take appointments and adhere to them specifically? You know, because when you've got a whole crowded room and they're sitting there waiting, and then they get called up, and now they get an appointment, so do you get taken immediately? And how do they handle disability? And I think that there should be a specific place for non-driver's licenses, which would cut to the chase. If you were just doing an ID, a state ID, you would be in a different category than the people that were doing the testing and whatever it need to be. So whatever you can tell me about how disability accessible is the driver's license facility that's in the Waukegan area, and I don't know where the office is in the State of Illinois building, if they still have a Secretary of State office there. So tell me what you know about what do you need. What do you need to bring in identification-wise and that kind of thing?
Okay. You're asking me a lot of things simultaneously. And Waukegan DMV, I don't know in terms of how accessible it is. But what I do know is that they highly recommend you schedule an appointment to skip the line rather than just go in cold.
Okay, so that's their philosophy. That's interesting.
Yes, exactly. You don't want to.
How do they come up?
You know, here's the deal.
Really cut back.
When you're walking in, it's like playing the lottery. You can sometimes walk in, there's no one else, you walk in, you walk out. Other times, you're there for hours. So that's why you're better off making an appointment as far as that goes. Now, the Real ID checklist, that's the same no matter where you are in terms of what you have to do to verify. And they have to scan all the documents that you're bringing. So people who, have images from a cell phone, that's not acceptable. For your address, for instance, if you're going to use a bank statement, you can print that and give them the printed copy. But if you're doing that, I'm not sure I'd use an accountant for that, because you have to have the account number visible on the form. So there is a Real ID hotline, and I can give you a phone number, because I would think that there may be other circumstances that are not covered by the checklist that you might want to know about. You can also go to the Real ID webpage. But you ready for the phone number?
No, I don't have a pen handy. It would be too hard to find it right
okay.
now.
I was all right. All right. Well, then let me just tell you how it works.
I'll find the ID phone number.
Right. And you have to bring in, if you've got a valid passport, that's great. Because if you've got a valid passport, you're golden. Otherwise, a certified copy of your birth certificate. And that means certified, so filed with the state office, whatever that is. So in your case, you were born in America, so if you didn't have a passport, a certified birth certificate would be all you'd need. But you also...
But then you have to get that from a clerk's office. And it
well, they'll mail it to you. Right, exactly. You pay the money and they mail it to you, precisely. But if you have a passport, you're good for that. Now, the other thing is you're most likely going to have proof of your address. And so that's anything that's valid, as far as that goes, like I mentioned, like a bank account, like a utility bill, things like that.
Okay, one quick question. The new thing, so that you can board an airplane, you have a new thing put on the ID, and they extended that. But do other established identification things apply? Divorce decree?
Well, that's going to depend. Now, if you're saying divorce decree, I don't know if they're going to want to see that's certified, meaning that you're not just making a copy of it. But obviously, you're showing proof of your legal name, your date of birth, your social security number. If you've got a social security card, use that. And then two proofs of your principal residence. That's what it is in almost every state. I don't use Real ID at all for any reason, because I use passports for everything. And of course, if you got a passport, Real ID means nothing.
Yeah, But in order, well, I'm not too sure what the procedure is on getting the passport or where you get it from, but I would do that one in another
time. I always advise everybody to have a valid passport. I always think that's a good idea for every citizen.
Yeah, I agree with you under all those circumstances. Well, when you've got a disability, it's not so easy to get to all these places and do these things. But one interesting thing is Walmart will not give a money order unless you have a state ID or a driver's license.
Well, see, now that's, by the way, that's interesting because at some point that could be challenged because the reality is a passport is considered a legal ID. I know why they do it. It's very easy for them. They just swipe your driver, you know, swipe the driver's license, and they've got all the information that's on it. But I wouldn't use it if that were the case. But I've never had a problem, even at Walmart. I've never tried to buy a money order. But for other things, I hand them my passport. They say, "Do you have a driver's license?" I say, "You have to accept my passport," and that's the end of it.
Well, this is a new ruling within the last few months.
Well, then you go to the post.
A $20 money order. And they want an ID.
Right. Well, here's the deal. Yes, shop with your dollars. Go to the post office. Buy it that way. You don't have to go there.
Yeah, $2 though. Walmart's one.
Oh, come on.
$2.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Anyway, one other thing for the veterans. I want to say when you did the Ira Hayes song, I had never heard it before, and I can't even begin to tell you how much I appreciate it. I say God bless you to the family of the person who requested it. Because I had a lot of Marines in my family, other service members. My grandson never got to see their grandfather, highly decorated World War II Marine Corps, to their several Vietnam, Korea, currently two in the service. So those ones in the service did not get to see their grandfather, great-grandfather, you know, lost from casualties.
Mm-hmm.
And that Ira Hayes song was for my great first grandson, a native-born American Indian. He did 4 years at DePaul. He wanted to be a doctor, but he dropped out at the very last. Too expensive. American kids don't want to be doctors, but he did want to do that. He wanted to go further. That was why he chose DePaul University. But I thank you for that.
Okay.
Ira Hayes song. It meant a great deal to me.
Well, good.
And God bless our veterans and our active duty military, too.
All right.
And we hope the blessings come through positive stories from St. Raphael Archangel, because I have that WGN
All right, Ruth, I got to go.
Petition. Bye-bye.
All right, thanks.
Bye.
Appreciate it. All right, so 888-876-5593. And, wow, we're going to have requests from Robert in Stickney, and Cindy in Chicago's got something. Gary in Austin, we're going to talk about WOAI. I like that already. And Jamie on the South Side has more requests. Yes, Hello Walls wasn't enough. All that and more, and plenty of room for you right here on WGN Radio.
You are so beautiful. You're such a sight to see. You're the girl for me.
You
set my soul afire, filling my heart with one desire, wanting to be with you. You could make a blind man see. You could make a crippled man walk. You could make the quietest man in the world talk.
You, nobody else will do.
Every little boy in town wants to get his arms around
you, you.
For no one else will do, but you, with your 39, 21, 40 shape. Yes, you got me going ape to ape over you.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. That's the Showman, General Johnson's group. right, from the early 60s, and 49-21-40 shape, if you looked at what it should have said on the label. But when the label came out, yeah, 39-21-46. No, that's the way it happens. Anyway, we played General Johnson because he would have turned 84 on Friday, and he's originally from Norfolk. How he wound up on Minute, because I've seen other articles that say he was from New Orleans. No, he was not from New Orleans. He was definitely from Virginia. And how he got on Minute, I don't know, but they did. They had It Will Stand, and then, of course, 39-21-40 Shape, and that was pretty much it, and that's the early 60s for him. Of course, later he wound up working for Motown. He was doing some writing, and then he wound up, thanks to Holland Dozier Holland, forming the chairman of the board and doing Give Me Just a Little More Time, so that was later. But, of course, more than anywhere else, known for so many beach music hits. Yeah, in fact, I believe the Virginia General Assembly had awarded a day somewhere in June, General Johnson Day in Virginia. I don't know if that's every year or not, but anyway, that's the deal. As far as why did he die? Complications of knee surgery. And it's interesting because there were certain obits that said complication of lung cancer, but that wasn't it. It was knee surgery, and he just did not recover. So 888-876-5593, 8888-Raleigh. And we have Gary in Austin. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Well, hey, Raleigh, it's interesting you play that song, as I happen to hear it on a beach music stream I was listening to just a couple of days ago.
Oh, yeah. It's a big beach music hit, no doubt about it.
Oh, it was, yeah. It seems this happens sometimes. You come back from a song that I recently heard somewhere. Oh, so wow. I don't know what that means.
Well, probably that there just aren't that many beach music songs.
It may not be beach music. It could be some other complete, you know, different genre. So yeah. I don't know what it is. But, yeah, it's talking about OAI, and I remember now when you hear them during the day, they're just not like they were 30 years ago. And
Well, you know what I'm going to point to. You know exactly where I'm going with this.
Yeah.
Who's keeping up the ground system?
Yeah, exactly. And none of that San Antonio stuff is like it was then. I mean, you know, in those days, I mean, back when KTSA and Kono were big, I mean, they'd give the temperatures for Austin, San Antonio, and Corpus Christi every hour during the day.
Right, because you could hear them, but not anymore.
You can hear them. And now, you know, you can tell they're there, but you wouldn't listen to anybody. I mean, you know, OEI didn't do anything that you can't hear anywhere else, but nowadays, but you know, back when I lived here in the 90s, they were, you know, they had listeners here on their shows.
Oh, absolutely. No, and
KTSA did.
Sadly, and in the case of a lot of the stations that are now iHearts, like the OAI, in many cases, they don't even own the tower sites. Who's keeping it up and how? I have no idea. Yes, I realize that, of course, AM is challenged atmospherically, and there's a lot more in the air that affect what you're hearing. I get that, but I think nothing affects it more than the fact that these stations technically aren't kept up very well.
And, you know, some of the radios I have from the 80s, I got some old GE Super radios that still work. And they're not hearing them either.
No.
Just get like the secrets, you know, they're hearing what they can hear, and that's all they can do. It's great to hear Dennis. Always enjoy hearing
him. Yes, I'm glad he's doing well, because it had been a while, and John and I were just asking, what's going on with Dennis? So it's good to hear from him.
Because I know when he called, it's going to be an interesting topic, and I'll think, we should go another segment or two.
I'll be interested to hear what he finds out about the Nightcaps.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. I wish I had that tape of myself on Mutual. That was when my call waiting went off, and I had to put Herb on hold for that was near the end of the time, and you could tell then that he was he had a lot on his mind, you know, and little did we know then what all it was.
Exactly.
But he kind of perked up talking to me, the young kid. I don't know what it was, you know. But I'm sure
because there were fewer and fewer younger people listening and calling. And, of course, it was a brutal end for him, you know. In fact, I remember it was probably like 1990, and I was driving through Utah with Bill Drake, and he is listening to this. He's, "Raleigh, that man is certifiably insane." I said, "No, really, he's not. This is Herb Jepko," you know. apparently he missed the nightcaps. I don't know how, but he never heard. He said, "This is crazy time. Turn off the radio." You know, like, no, this is spellbinding to me. But
if you're out in the middle of nowhere and you're hearing KSL in the middle of the night, that's maybe it.
Oh,
yeah. You're going to listen and say, who's next? You know, is it going to be somebody driving a truck, or is somebody's 175 years old?
Right, exactly. You know? Who has to play at least one song for Herb on their Wurlitzer. Yeah. I love those people. Hold on, Herb.
I remember hearing a few of them get whittled off, and I used to just laugh.
Oh, know, of course.
Well, 2,600 strikes again. And then Herb would say, "Remember, nightcaps, that when you play music on the phone, certain frequencies could cause a call to disconnect. The Oregon, Michigan, West Virginia line."
Right, exactly. Know. No, you do that shockingly well, actually. Yeah. So.
thank you.
But of course, you know, and for people who don't remember the nightcaps, Herb, the calls only lasted until you heard Tinkerbell. And Tinkerbell was just a little music box that, I don't know, played around the world in 80s days or something, but, or Love is a Mini Splinter things. I don't even remember. And I had it on my nightstand for a while. But anyhow, the reality is that Tinkerbell was variable. If he didn't like the call, Tinkerbell came a lot more quickly than if he did.
Yeah. I think you had a 5-minute limit, which could be anywhere from like maybe 2 to maybe 7, depending.
Right.
Depending.
And then as time went along, he got a sidekick. He got the Crusher, which was
in the paint.
Right, exactly. Old wrestler and all this stuff. But, you know, sadly, this would still be on the air if he hadn't made the mistake of going to Mutual. It really would be.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
it would.
Oh, yeah. And from what I hear now, this is going back now 10 years, but 10 years is not a long time when I tell you this. Patsy was still getting checks from people who had signed up for the insurance plans.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
Yes, recent as 10 years ago.
Interesting.
Yeah, the Medicare 105 plan.
I'm surprised people are alive.
Right. We all wondered. Yeah.
Yeah. I thought the oldest person in the world was in France or someplace.
Probably in Utah. Yeah.
Idaho or someplace.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow.
Exactly. Yeah. Fun stuff.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, it is. Well, okay, great.
Good to hear from you. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Okay,
bye-bye.
All right. So 888-876-5593. Did I break for the news? I don't even know. This is terrible. Has the news come and gone? I'm not sure.
I love you. There's nothing to hide. It's better than burning inside. I love you. No use to pretend. There, I've said it again. I've said it. What more can I say? Believe me, there's no other way. I love you, and I will till the end. There, I've said it again. I've tried to drum up a phrase that could sum up all that I feel for you. But what good are phrases? The thought that amazes is you love me, and it's heavenly. Forgive me for wanting you so.
but one thing I want you to know, I've loved you since heaven knows when.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and I told Fran that, yeah, I'll play the Mickey Gilley version of that. There, I said it again, and yeah, tons of versions of that song, obviously a pop standard from the 40s, and Mickey Gilley from 1988 on Airborne. All right, so 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, let's see what Robert's request is. What you got for me, Robert?
Yeah, just a couple of quick requests. One of my favorite country and western songs of all time are Gone by Ferlin Husky.
Okay.
Yeah, and this one dedicated, I had to dedicate this to my folks since the Memorial Weekend is coming upon us. If you've got it, this goes way back. When the Lights Go On Again All Over the World, Vaughn Monroe.
Oh, my God, yes. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
In their memory, yeah. Okay, thanks a lot.
All right, thanks for calling. Appreciate it. All right, so I had to write Robert's name down, so when I play it, I'll know who I'm playing it for. All right, so 888-876-5593. Cindy in Chicago, what's up tonight, Cindy?
Yeah, you played the Johnny Cash song, and I saw the Johnny Cash movie. Yeah, and I just always, you know, in the back of my mind, wondered what it would be like to live in the South and have all those people, be around all those people with Southern manners and live in a big white giant house.
Well, most people who live in the South don't live in white giant houses, trust me. And as far as the accents, you know, there were those of us who say the people in the North had an accent. So it's something you expect if you're there.
I mean, it just seems like a completely different world when it's portrayed on TV.
Well, doesn't everything.
But then anyhow. Yeah, I've been doing a lot of cooking. I made my potato salad, and I put my corn in the microwave. I cook for 4 days, so it'll be for Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday.
You're good to go.
And I made my sugar-free Jell-O with pineapple, 2 packages. And then the grocery store, there's one in Norridge and Harwood Heights. They have country-style ribs, 99 cents a pound.
Can you
believe that?
Why not?
And then you said your husband paid, like, I don't know what, for like $13 for a small. This is an 8-inch pie. I think it was $3 or $4.99. But tomorrow I'm making the ribs on the barbecue, 2 batches of ribs. We could only have a small barbecue on our balcony.
One would hope.
I couldn't. And then I couldn't, you know, well, the other condo I was going to move in, I could have brought my big one, gas one, but, and then just making a homemade sugar-free mixed berry pie, and I made the pie dough yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
But then the other thing is, I don't know what's going, you know, I don't know how to read my stock, Exelon. I don't know if it, you know, some of the guidance says it's going down from like 44 or 45 to 39.
Mm.
And, you know, but I don't know. I just bought 100 shares for the open, and I have to get up early for the pre-market and see what's what and make my decision if I'm going to cancel the order or not.
All right. Well, you'll figure it out. God knows you don't want my advice on anything having to do with the stock market.
And then there's another thing I wanted to say that's a little more serious, and I don't know how I could live with knowing this.
Oh, gosh, help me. What?
They said that the 14,000 Palestinian children are going to die within the next 2 days.
All right, we're not even going to go there. So we'll leave. That's an issue, and we could get embroiled in all sorts of things with that. I'll leave it to somewhere else. But what I will tell you to do is stop listening to this stuff.
Well, if they do die, they'll be in Abraham's bosom.
Well, very good. All right, we'll just go from there. Thanks, Cindy. I appreciate it. All right, this is your 3 hours not to worry about anything political. And so we guard that by request, and I will do that as far as that goes. So we'll stay away from that. But one thing I will say is that whatever point of view you want, there's something you'll find online or even terrestrial that will parrot it just the way you want it. Yeah, absolutely. No stone will be left unturned. Eduardo is in Tampa. What's going on tonight, Eduardo? All right, we lost Eduardo. Well, that's rare. Maybe he actually decided to do something productive like sleep. Yeah, not a bad thought all the way. We got Laura in Willowbrook, and we got Mark in Morrisville, Pennsylvania, and James on the South Side, as well as plenty of room for you right here on WGN Radio.
Have you seen my baby? Have you seen my girl? I'm talking about Shirley, the one I told you I love. Search high and low, seeing sure I can't find my baby. No matter where I go, I want a $10,000 or reward, my girl. I'm walking in circles, pulling out of my head. Sometimes I would that I was dead. If you got a good girl, treat her tenderly, or you might wind up like me. I wanted $10,000, a reward, my girl.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Well, this week in 1961, Ernie Cato was on top of the charts with Mother-in-Law. You remember that? If you ever flipped the record over on minute, you'd have heard Wanted, $10,000 reward, which I thought was a great record. All right, I like Mother-in-Law too, but I Wanted, $10,000 reward should have been its own single. We've got Mark in Morrisville, Pennsylvania. Welcome to WGN Radio.
Marcus here. Yes, indeed. The death of AM radio in and around New Jersey, Town Square Media in particular.
Mm-hmm.
1300 AM, just the most recent casualty, it seems, of the WIMG. They left their digital signal on for quite a while after their analog signal went off, which I found to be very strange, but 1160 WOMB gone. Just 920 changed to Spanish from whatever they were, I guess sold off.
Let me ask you about OMB, OBM for a moment, 1160. They also were simulcasting on 1310. What's going on with that?
That's different. I don't know what 1310 is doing. I can't pick it up from here. I can just get 1160.
Okay.
So I don't know what's going on with 1310, but 1160 gone.
Okay.
It's just very sad.
Unfortunately, it's sad for us, those of us who've been emotional about it. You know, we had a relationship with it, and it meant something, and especially on AM because of the DXing capabilities with the ionosphere layer. But from a business standpoint, sadly, it makes a lot of sense.
Well, the DXing on FM is going too, because you have the low power FMs destroyed.
Well, but there wasn't much DXing anyway. You were real dependent upon things like ducting in the summer and sunspots and things like that. I mean, FM was not a notorious DXers haven like AM. I mean, AM, you are guaranteed at night because of that ionosphere layer to get all sorts of things, and somehow it sounded romantic if it was fading in and out of over 1,000 miles away. But I get that. But sure, as far as FM, very crowded. And where you are in the Pennsylvania, New Jersey area especially, and down in D.C. and Baltimore, it's so crowded on FM, you got a lot of directional FM, which you don't see in many places.
Right, and the other thing, I remember when I was a kid, you know, I'd be tuning around the TV dial, of course, messing up my mom's TV.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And over that, hang on a minute. Don't go away. Stay right where you are. And we'll pick it up right after the news right here on WGN Radio.
Since you've gone, the moon, the sun, the stars in the sky, no. Love divine once was mine. Now you've gone. Since you've gone, my heart, my lips, my tear-dimmed eyes, a lonely soul within.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. So Robert and Stickney gets his first request, Furl and Husky Gone, 1961 on Capitol. There you have it. 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. I don't know if it is on Capitol or not. I know that the Fair and Young was, but I didn't bother to look at Furlan. I will. In the meantime, talking to Mark in Morrisville, and so I looked it up while you were gone. 1310's gone too, and so are the two translators.
Well, all I know is when I was a little kid, I was just enjoying the TV. I grew up in the Pittsburgh area, so channels 7 through 10 were blank 99.9% of the time. So one Sunday morning I wake up and I'm getting all four channels.
Yep.
Wheeling, West Virginia, Steubenville, Ohio, Johnstown, PA, and I'm like, wow, this is fantastic.
Well, that's the wonders of tropoducting. It was probably sometime between May and August.
It was fantastic.
Well, it happens all the time, but it's not dependable like AM.
No, it's just sad, you know.
Well, on an emotional level, I agree with you. On a financial level, it does make sense. Now, the bigger argument that we could have is, of course, did AM die or did radio kill it by virtue of the programming? And it could go both ways, not to mention some of the technical things as well. But regardless, at this point in time, it's just a losing battle, unless you're like a WGN that has the heritage and the 50,000 watts and the advertising base and all that, then of course it's going strong. But when you're talking about a Class 4 AM station or a Class 3 that's horribly directional or something like that, the bottom line is that, you know, in this day and age, it's an emotional game, but it's not a business game because you will lose money.
Yeah, I understand the financials of it.
Yeah, and of course, as I say, and I understand that it's emotional to all of us, of course. But, you know, the other side of that, keep in mind, think about this. I don't know how old you are, but keep in mind, if you're a little long a tooth here, think about what it would like when you were 13 years old if you could have, in your room, turned on your computer and gotten radio stations from all over the world. You probably never would have left home.
Right.
Exactly. So that's the upside. Now, I always say, gee, it's wonderful. Everything's online, but there's nothing I want to hear. What I personally find disappointing is that the reason for HD in the first place was it was supposed to give us niche programming and a wide variety of things. And of course, now it's just used as a way to fuel a translator that you normally couldn't get on the air because of your 60 dB coverage. So, you know, gone is nostalgia and many other formats that just economically don't make sense, but we miss them.
No question about it. I mean, 104.1, 96.9, these are frequencies that, you know, you love to move the antenna around, see what you get, whether it be Lancaster or the other.
Right, of course, and you can do that on FM, you know, depending, you can get at least a couple stations, sometimes as many as three, depending on how you're doing it and how you're set up. But let me ask you something. In this day and age, when you're doing that, is there anything on any of those frequencies that you really want to hear?
Well, no, not since the low power FMs came out.
Well, and I rest my case. Well, actually, low power FM no different than translators, really. As far as that goes, you know, it's interesting that they're limited to 250 watts, but they don't tell you how tall the towers can be. So, depending on those, can be very formidable signals. Nothing on it you may want to hear, but they go pretty far.
Oh yeah. No question about it.
So, that 96.7 had a really good signal from Jackson to Middletown. You know, I mean, it was nice, and that 104.1 did well. But we'll see. Now, from what I understand, I didn't see the filing, but from what I understand, Town Square filed it in such a way that they didn't just say, here's your licenses, goodbye. They were just saying, due to economic conditions, we need to take the stations off the air, quote-unquote, temporarily. So they filed for a silent STA. Now, of course, if that goes a full year, it's automatic. They lose the license. But if it doesn't go a full year, they could put it back on. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. I hope they go back. When I came here in 03, I mean, you know, Town Square had the sports station at 920 and all that.
Sure.
And then I was introduced to you in 03, and, you know.
Okay. Yeah, and when you think about it, that's 22 years ago. But if you came from Pittsburgh, you came from great radio. You know, I mean, Pittsburgh back in the day had, and of course, in my day, probably you weren't alive, but it was wonderful, wonderful radio. And, of course, I miss Porky Chedwick terribly.
Yeah, I'm still missing KQV.
Well, yes, and you know we could go on and on. So sure. And again, these are emotional discussions, and I love to have them. But from a business standpoint, sadly the entire paradigm was turned upside down with the Telecommunications Act, and it was a feeding frenzy. And most of these groups are so leveraged that it's not a question of them being greedy; it's a question of them surviving.
Yeah, they tried to put KQV back on in Greensburg.
The call letters, right.
It never flew anywhere.
Right,
so.
Right. Yeah, the call letters. But yeah, that's the 1410. And I think at this point they're non-commercial.
Right.
So, you know, I mean, back in the day, no one would have believed that. But
indeed.
Yeah, exactly. So, sure. All right, I miss Whammo. But then again, that's just me. All right.
They're on 100. They're on 100 point.
Yeah, but it's not the same.
No, it's not. No. But all right, Raleigh.
Thanks for calling. Good to hear from you. Do it again.
Thank you.
All right. Good deal. So 888-876-5593-8888 Raleigh. All right. So Laura is in Willowbrook. What's up tonight, Laura?
Hey, Raleigh. I wanted to call you and let you know about my new adventure in theater. But before I do that, have you ever had occasion to be on stage once to do anything as a kid or an adult?
Well,
or anything?
As a kid, yes, yes. School plays, absolutely.
Okay, okay. Well, I've been on stage many times, and a local theater group says, we need directors, I thought. Oh, okay, well, I've always wanted to direct this, okay. So they're like, well, we like experienced ones, but we want to give people that have never done it the chance. I'm like, oh, that's for me.
Yeah.
That's for me.
Sure.
Okay. So this theater group says this is their fifth year, and they took up to 120 play submissions. It was basically the subject, you had to write something about moving on. and it was only allowed to be a 10-minute play. So 120 people were finalized, like, okay. And then, thank goodness, I submit myself as a director, so I'm one of eight, thank goodness. And we had to pick, out of the 16 plays, we were to put our ones in order that we wanted to do. So I'm lucky I got my first choice. But my question is, this one's called Gaslight.
Okay.
Okay. You know anything about theater and the Gaslight?
Sure. Gaslight.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Well, Gaslight was a play. And this goes back this goes back to the 30s, and it's actually
I'm sorry. Oops, I goofed. It's Ghostlight. But tell me about Gaslight.
Oh, Gaslight was great. It came out in the 30s, but it was set in the 1800s in London. What it was a marriage based on deceit, and the husband was committed to driving his wife insane so he could get the money. And so it was pretty big. I remember that from reading that in high school in drama. But anyway,
well, that's cool. I don't know why I've never seen that one.
Patrick Hamilton is the guy who wrote it. But Ghostlight?
Yeah, I goofed. I said okay. Gas, but it's Ghostlight.
Well,
you ever heard of that?
Well,
term?
In terms of technically, yes, I've never heard of a play called Ghostlight, but
no, it's a brand new one.
Oh, okay. Because I was saying, you know, the purpose of a Ghostlight is it energizes the stage when the theater's unoccupied.
Good.
So you know, and it can be anything. It can be incandescent, which I prefer, but it can be LED or whatever. But those are ghost lights. And originally, they were there for safety. But of course, they've had other years. So, Ghostlight is now a play.
Yeah, this is one of the 120 people made the finals.
All right,
and
it's by
I picked to direct that one. So,
okay.
I'll send you some information about it someday. But yeah, it's a Ghostlight, exactly about what you're talking about. And supposedly I've heard of there's really ghosts in theaters.
Well,
they really actually do put. Professional theaters do actually hang a light for the ghosts.
Yeah, that of course a lot of the theaters are old, so it makes sense. But are you talking about the Stephen Gregg play?
I don't know anything about that.
Gabriella Nettles inexplicably admitted to Dove's Forge Academy, and all she wants to do is leave. But before she can manage to get herself expelled, she starts to hear sounds that no one else hears, ghost echoes from the remnants of a long-ago tragedy in the school's theater. As she investigates the sounds by joining a disastrous play in progress, she uncovers a story that's both surprising and moving. Theatrically staged, using the production's audience and live sound effects, Ghostlight has hilarious characters. So that's what Stephen Gregg did that.
Wow.
I don't know if that's... but that's not the one you're doing, huh?
No, but, boy, that's interesting. I hadn't heard about that. But, yeah, this is... It was so intriguing. Out of the 18 plays, I just had to do this one because, of course, I'm a theater person.
Okay.
But we have to do the sound effects, you know, be ghostly and maybe, what is it, they say smoke and mirrors and maybe put some, like they said, some wind, make people, if the audience feels like there's a breeze in the audience, they're like, okay, why is there a breeze in the audience? And funny noises going on just to make it appear as ghosts are around.
All right.
Yeah, so it's going to be a blast. My first time, and it's nice because it's basically just obviously a 10-minute play, so there's not much to it. So not much rehearsal in short time, but I'll tell you more as it goes on.
Yeah.
But I'm impressed that you knew Ghostlight. I didn't know you knew that.
Well, it's a fairly common thing. I don't normally think about it as ghosts, but yeah, that's how you light the stage when nobody's in the audience.
Yeah, okay.
All right.
Well, thanks, Raleigh.
Sure thing.
John, have a good night.
Okay, bye. All right, so 888-876-5593. But it kind of lends itself. I can see that people would begin to see ghosts. Yeah. All right, well, whatever. 888-876-5593. We'll get to David in Winthrop Harbor. I played his request. He's probably got another one. And James on the south side. There's room for you, too, on WGN Radio.
Hey, hey. once again. Uh-huh, am I the man?
Yes, you're the man.
Yeah, you ought to be ahead of letting me know. You ought to be ahead of tell me so. You ought to be here to prove it's true that I'm the only one for you. And baby, tell me once again. Uh-huh, am I the man?
Yes, you're the man.
Yeah, girls in this big city, all of these girls, it's a pity that my girl, she's a thousand miles away. Are driving me wild. But no, 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 I'm gonna wait until you're in my arms. I'm gonna wait until I have your charms. I'm gonna wait till you come to me and love it, love it like it ought to be. And baby, tell me once again, oh, am I the man?
Yes, you're the man.
Yeah, girls in this big city, all of these girls, it's a pity for that.
WGN Radio, I'm Roddy James. Yeah, that's one of my all-time favorite Jackie Wilson records. 1960 on Brunswick, it was the flip side. Bob Hamilton co-wrote that. He used to work for Golden World, which is a wonderful little label in Detroit. In any event, Jackie Wilson was doing something in the recording studio this week. Not this, obviously, but something else, recording something else. And when I saw that, I said, oh, man, I haven't heard of My the Man in a while. So now I have. All right, so we've got the news. And then we've got James on the South Side, Kristen Greenwood, David and Winthrop Harbor, more requests, no doubt, or AM Radio, and Stacy in Algonquin. Okay, all that and more coming up. Attendance will be taken right here on WGN Radio.
I want you back again. I want your love again.
I know you find it hard to reason with me, but this time it's different. Tell me you're coming back to me. You gotta tell me you're coming back to me. You gotta tell me you're coming back to me. You gotta tell me you're coming back to me. You said we're through before you walked out on me. Before I tried to tell you, but you didn't want to know. This time you're different, and determined to go. You gotta
tell WGN Radio. I'm Riley James. 1964 in London. It is the Rolling Stones, and that was Cindy's request from a couple days ago. Tell me. All right, so 888-876-5593. Is 8888 Raleigh. All right, so we have David in Winthrop Harbor. Welcome back, David. All right, we had David in Winthrop Harbor. Are you still there, David? I guess not. All right, well, something answered, but he can call back. There is one line available in case he is there. Chris in Greenwood, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh, how's it going?
All right, what's happening, Chris?
Here.
Yes, what you been doing?
Nothing much. Just laying low and just taking it easy.
Okay.
Yeah, and also a catfish festival at one of the shows this weekend.
Aha.
Yeah. And how are things going on your way in Chicago?
Yeah, no changes. Same stuff, different day. Everything seems to be boring, which is perfect.
Oh, yeah, and also keeping up with the Clemson baseball as well.
Yeah.
They beat the Nasty Wolfpack tonight. 7 to 6.
All right. Yeah, we got the, you know, this weekend we got the Indy 500 in Indianapolis, got the Blues Fest starting in Chicago in another week or so. So, you know, I think there's probably a lot of Memorial Day things happening.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and I also want to say, you know, like if you listen to AM sports on the AM radio at night.
Uh-huh.
You know, they have to lower their power down.
Uh-huh.
Like when it hits, I mean, I just realized some AM operators wait till after the game is over.
Well, not exactly legal, but I guess if no one turns them in, there you have it.
Uh-huh. Yeah, especially like if it's up, what you call it, like the four-digit frequency, like 1450, for example.
Well, at 1450, they should be 1,000 watts night and day.
So you can hear them anytime.
Well, I mean, anywhere that the signal is, but I mean, 1450 is a class 4, what they used to call class 4 station, so that's 1,000 watts day and night. Back in the day, in the 60s, it was 1,000 watt day, 250 night, but it's 1,000 watt day and night, and it's non-directional. So it depends where you are on the dial to what you're dealing with, but of course, there's a lot of directional AM, and the rule, for the most part, is that you have to power down at sunset, period. And, you know, that is determined. You get a calendar that they give you, and every month it's a different time slightly. And you have to do that. If you don't, like I say, if someone turns you in, that's a license violation.
For example, in Greenville, my neighbor in a county, like 1070.
Well, 1070... 1070 in Greenville is a little interesting situation. When they came on the air, they came on the air in 1966 as a daytimer. And they since, its license is Sans Souci. And it since got some nighttime programming, but I think it's 50 kilowatts in the day and there's 1500 at night. But originally there was zero at night. Yeah, I remember when they came on as WHYZ in May of 1966. And the reason I remember this so well is at the time I was living in Hendersonville, North Carolina. So I remember when this station came on the air and it was top 40. And I remember their first contest was Wacky Weddings. That kind of, they were just a basic top 40 station, but they got some nighttime power later.
Uh-huh. Yeah, because a friend of mine that's working now at WZLA, brother Bill Robinson,
uh-huh.
He told me about this because he worked there, and he said they had, like, they got more than one tower, and they was diagonal, like, heading towards Easley, you can barely pick it up.
Yeah.
But, like, going towards Greenwood, you could pick it up all the time until 1090 came on and overpowered it.
Yeah, no, I remember that Brother Bill Robinson was absolutely on HYZ later in the day. I remember that very well. But I do not...
Yeah, he does God.
Yeah, right, ZLA, all right, 92.9. But...
And I'm co-hosting with him, too.
Oh, yeah? All right.
Uh-huh.
So, HYZ, or what they are now, is CSZ. They're one of five stations in South Carolina that have 50,000 watts in the day. The other, you know, ESC in Greenville has 50 in the day. You also have Columbia has 50. Lancaster and Blythewood are the markets, as far as I recall.
Not Charleston, Myrtle Beach.
What, in Myrtle Beach?
They don't have a 50,000 watt AM.
No, station. No, they don't. They absolutely don't. But I'm pretty sure that when you mentioned that 1070, that's non-directional. They're one tower, non-directional.
Yeah, and he said they played some good music back in the day, like,
well, yeah,
some of my favorite, like, you know, like High Energy that you requested the other day. They played that.
Yeah, well,
they played a lot.
They were originally top 40 when they signed on in 66, and then they had a big fire at the end of the 60s. The studios got destroyed and all that, and then they were broadcasting from a mobile home, and then they went urban. And so that's what they were doing was urban. And I think it was about 2000 when the Sans Souci move got them the 24 hours a day, I think.
And so, they was like the dominant radio station in Greenville.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if you're going to say that. You know, now we're going to have a little argument.
Until Jams came along, because that's FM. Yeah. 107.
Well, you know, ESC certainly had its day in the sun. Don't kid yourself. So, yeah.
What about 1330 WFBC?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So
they never had R&B.
Yeah, I think that's YRD now. But yeah.
Four.
Yeah. So sure. You know, and you can look at their coverage. It's not bad. Aren't they doing Sports, The Fan, or something like that, I think?
Yeah, The Fan.
That's what I thought.
And what about 1440 WQOK?
Sure. What about it?
You know, their logo looks like a candy bar.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I think that's GVL now. I don't think it's QOK anymore. It's GBL. So, but
I heard they had good music back then.
Yeah, yeah. Music and Memories. I'm trying to think of what they, what they were calling themselves. But yeah, it was all right. And then of course it changed, like everything else.
Yeah, but I think in Greenwood you couldn't pick 1440 because of the neighboring WCRS 1450, a kilohertz away.
Oh, that's probably true. They went through a lot of call letters. You mentioned QOK. That was like from the 50s through the 80s. But they were Wake before that, before Wake in Atlanta, and MRC, I think they signed on as. But yeah, they're
yeah, and Woke in Charleston.
You know, it was interesting because they signed on 1940. And it was a fascinating time because, of course, you were starting to get into the musician strike and all that kind of stuff. And so there was a ban on phonograph records and all that kind of stuff. So you had a lot of different programming back then, and a lot of network stuff too. And then it went dark after a while. And I'm trying to think of when that was, but it went dark. I think most of the people who were there went to FBC, not all, but then it came back as Wake, you know, and then in 55 it went to QOK. And that was Dick. Dick owned that. Dick Broadcasting, they owned that. They also had Chattanooga and I think Knoxville. So yeah, rock and roll and rhythm and blues, Four Towers of Power on White Horse Road. Why do I remember that? Why do I remember
that? I remember those.
Four Towers of Power. I thought, not exactly, but yeah, they had a lot of a guy I worked with. I guess I remember there's Mal Harrison, who I worked with in a couple markets, was there, and Lee Baby Sims. There are others. You know, a lot of people went through there.
Yeah, and they were part of the mutual broadcasting system as well.
Yeah, well, who wasn't? You know, as far as that goes, but yeah.
Yeah, so, I think they went dark. They was off the air until the sale was to the Piedmont Broadcasting Company.
Right.
Completed at 5:45 on 1954.
Right, and that's, like I say, that was the change to Wake, because it had been MRC and then it went to Wake. But Wake wasn't there very long, like a year or so, and then became QOK. QOK had it for a good little while. Dick bought them in 57, like I say, and they... I'm trying to think. It was, who owned it before Dick? Spidel Fisher. Spidel Fisher owned it before Dick. I was trying to think. Yeah, then it went to Dick, and that was when the Four Towers of Power and all that stuff. And like I say, Mal Harrison worked there, and a number of other people. And you know, they did very well in teens. They owned the Greenville Teens, no doubt about it. And you know, then Dick sold it to Hooper, not the ratings company. And it was pop for a while after that. I don't remember who bought it there. I know they I guess before Key bought it, they were dark for a while. Key Market. That's Kirby Confer bought it in 82. He used to be Kirby Scott in Baltimore. He was the night guy. He was great. But yeah, so it went to Key Market. And then since then, you know, it was a lot of things, Radio Disney and Talk after that, but who cares?
It was Radio Disney.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, that didn't last long, I heard.
No, about a minute and a half.
Oh yeah, and they had the jingle set.
Well, then of course that moment that it was hot Latin pop. I don't know what to say about that, but you had a lot of things, and then it got LMA'd. It actually went Spanish. It was LMA'd quite a lot. So yeah. Well, there you go. Little walk down Greenville memory lane.
Yeah, the Upstate Radio and WAIM, that's in Anderson. And
oh, yeah.
I think they were country.
Right. And there was also a good...
And I think...
In addition...
That movie Radio, right?
Yeah, somebody was playing beach music in Anderson in the 80s. It wasn't AIM. I'll think about it.
It was A&S.
Yeah, it was A&S. You're right. That's exactly right. They were playing beach music. Yep.
Uh-huh. That's what started 107.3 A&S originally.
Yeah. So that was the deal. So absolutely.
You okay had some R&B too, I think.
Yeah. But yeah, A&S, I think they were 1280, I think.
Yeah, 1280.
Yeah, right. And
1240 was WAIM.
Yeah, do you know what it stood for, by the way, WANS?
Anderson Independent Mail.
No, well, that wouldn't be ANS. Anderson's Now Sound is what it was, ANS.
Oh, Anderson's Now Sound.
Yeah.
I got AIM.
Yeah, right, I was going to say, A&S. got the wrong call letter. So, yeah, absolutely. And then, you know, it was simulcasting FBC for a minute there. More recently. All sad stuff. All right. Well, good memories. Good to hear from you.
Good to hear from you. And hopefully I could hear, like, you know, more AM.
So, yeah, there you go. So more AM, more often.
Dave, AM radio.
All right. Thanks.
You know, the alarm's one is off the air.
All right. Thanks. Appreciate it. All right. And, of course, speaking of off the air, WANS is off the air. The FCC canceled the license. They went dark in, I think, 2002. And then, you know, by 2004, the FCC said, nope, more than a year, you're out. So just that simple. That's the deal. And I think that's congressional, actually, that you can't be dark more than a year, 365 days. If it's 366, you are off the air. David called back. All right, David called back. Welcome back to WGN Radio. Well,
hello, Wally.
There you are. Okay,
thank
David.
You. Thank you. Thank you.
All right.
For playing Johnny.
Johnny Cash, yes. That was your request.
Yes,
hey,
yes,
Porter.
Yes, yes,
you got
yes,
to hear it. Yep.
And Cry, Cry, Cry was the other side. But I don't want to talk about that right quick. I do have another request, though. You put on Wreck of Old 97 maybe next week.
Okay.
However, let's talk about AM radio.
Okay.
And let's talk about me. So here's my fascination with AM radio. I grew up with it. Meant for the car, in fact. So I'm a traveling man.
Okay.
Road trip. I'm bored. I'm going to go see the country.
Mm-hmm.
AM stations are the best. Now, around here, you get all the interference, you know, static, you know, electric power, like you said.
Well, that's everywhere, of course.
Yeah. However, what's wonderful about AM radio, when you're traveling, you know, road tripping, like cross country,
mm-hmm.
you get a sense of the culture in America that you can't see through it.
Well, you used to.
I don't know how to put it into work.
You used to.
It's still true.
Well, the majority, when you're driving across the country, and God knows I've done this a lot.
But I'm not talking about music so much.
No, I'm not either.
What
I'm telling you is most of them aren't local anymore. That's sad.
Right.
Almost all of them are national stuff.
And it fades in and out.
Well, apart from that, you're not getting local radio. You're not even getting local news. I've talked many times about being in the middle of a tornado and trying to find any report of the weather and nowhere. So there's just not much of it left.
I'm going nostalgic a little, though.
Oh, okay.
I'm talking like when you're driving and you're like in cornfields in Oklahoma and you put on an AM station, you just... scroll through.
When's the last time you did this? When is the last time you did this?
Scroll through.
No, drive through Oklahoma or where everybody else and listen to AM.
Last time I took a big road trip was probably 2015.
Okay, well, I'm telling you, if you do it right now and you scan the dial as you're driving through Oklahoma, you will hear national programming. You will not hear a local station for the most part.
And that's kind of my question, because you were talking about big 50,000-watt towers and the little cats, you know. And so I remember used to, earlier, 90s, cruising around the country, and then I'd throw on an AM station, just wherever, and you'd get old-time radio stations, you know, and like,
understood.
Old-time radio.
And you don't get that anymore. But I'm coming up to the end of the show, and I will talk to you again soon. David, I'm sorry about this, but the clock is moving on, whether I do or not. Coming up on WGN Radio, we'll get some closing thoughts, I hope, on WGN. WGN Radio, pretty much that's a wrap. Sorry about that. Apologies to Naoto in Japan and Stacy in Algonquin, James on the South Side, and Tubby, we got a request. I give my love completely. Now we have to figure out what the song is. All right, tomorrow night's a replay of Monday Night Trivia. If you missed it, there is a straggler. And then Monday, 10 o'clock Central, the next edition of Monday Night Trivia. Until then, we thank Adam for keeping us on the air and John for screening your calls. But above all, I thank you for calling. That's what makes the show a pleasure to do. Hope to talk to you live Monday night on WGN Radio.